Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And it did. And the world did change after 9/11. And it's 18 years later. And we think about, what are the lessons? Have we changed? What have we altered in our life? How do we talk about 9/11? Has our politics changed since then? What are we learning? And these are questions we ask ourselves every year on the anniversary of 9/11. And of course, this being the 18th anniversary of 9/11, we now realize that no child alive today, being 18, a full generation really, was alive at the time when 9/11 happened. So you are now an adult at 18, and you don't remember 9/11.
It's really hard to frame this. It's hard for me to frame this and to capture the horror of that day. Right. I think there was a certain sense of innocence that was lost, and innocence that we had on September 10th, 2001, evaporated before our eyes on September 11th, 2001. You know, not since Pearl Harbor have we had, you know, that scale of an attack on the homeland.
True.
And so this notion that it can't happen here, yeah, it can happen here. It just did happen here. And a lot of innocence, all innocence, were swept up in this.
It shattered our sense of security, feeling that wars are fought on a different land, not ours. I agree with you on that. It also brought in this whole new vernacular about Islamic jihadism, Al-Qaeda, Taliban, Afghanistan. All of these over there world problems were now here on American soil, and we needed to be educated about that. And we did. We've learned quite a lot in the last 18 years, and we seem embedded now. Obviously, we still have troops over in Afghanistan. So we seem embedded now in the politics that goes on over there. The question today is, what do you want this generation to know about 9/11, and how do you express that? We asked it on Twitter, and now we're asking it on the air. Our phone number is 651-989-9226. What did you learn that you want to impart to this next generation? 651-989-9226. Katie Thomas responded to your tweet. She says, guys, I always record the programming on the History Channel all day and watch with my kids in the evening. I find it sad there's no programming about this historic event on any major network. I don't know that that's true. I mean, I think a lot of the major networks, they air the reading of all of the names of the folks who died on 9/11. And they do a lot of special programming. So, yeah, it might not be wall-to-wall, but people do pay homage.
I mean, for me, it was a reminder that, evil exists. Evil is real. There is more good in the world than evil, but there are evil people with evil intent. And this notion, you know, hijacking a religion, you know, the weaponization of faith via Al-Qaeda. I mean, in their eyes, America was the invader, and we were in Saudi Arabia, their holy places, and they wanted us out, and this was retribution. This was, in their twisted way of explaining this act, this horrific act, it was to get us out of Saudi Arabia. But it was interesting to me, and you may not like George W. Bush, President Bush, but the one thing I think he got right was to tamp down bigotry at the time. At least he tried to. President Bush, right after 9/11, said, quote, Islam, as practiced by the vast majority of people, is a peaceful religion, a religion that respects others. He also said, ours is a country based on tolerance, and we welcome people of all faiths in America. So this notion that you demonize all Muslims because of the act of these crazed lunatics, I think that still resonates, at least for me.
And what a wise response. But in the years that have passed, and this is something I've learned, even though President George W. Bush may have said that, that's not what happened. You know, some people may have heeded his words, but it really has this anti-Muslim, you know, anti-Islam sentiment in the United States still exists. And that is unfortunate. It's really unfortunate. For me, I know what I learned was that there is no immunity. There is no sacred space that you can be untouched from people who want to do harm to you. As somebody who is obviously a big proponent of Israel, I'm always very aware that their existence, that their lives, you know, can be shattered with just a few bombs from people who live 20 minutes away from them. But it never seemed real here on this soil. And on 9/11, in Building 1, my first husband's roommate, Mark Zeppelin, perished. He worked at one of the top floors, and we did not hear from him after the first plane hit. He died working in the financial district in that building. And it was, you know, my husband's roommate. He was at our wedding, a friend from college. Like, this was a dear friend of ours. They got married when we got married. They had two kids. You know what I mean? Like, it was just something very so close to home. And my own little brother was in Building number 7. World Trade Complex has many buildings, and Building number 7 is across the street from, you know, or kitty corner from 1 and 2. And when the buildings hit, I knew my brother worked in one of those buildings. And then they brought down Building number 4 later that day because it was structurally unsound. I think they brought down more than that. But I remember not being able to be in touch with my brother that whole day. And I was on the air at Fox 29, up in Northeast here. And I remember having to take breaks from being on the air and walk around the building because I was so racked with anxiety that my brother
couldn't reach him.
Was under a pile of ash, right. And we had lost him. Because he was one of those people that had to walk north through the streets of New York City covered in ash with no cell phone and no briefcase and no means of getting in touch with us and telling us that he was alive. And that day was so anxiety-ridden that I think so many people have actual PTSD from that day. I'm not claiming to be one of them in any way, shape, or form, but I can still feel that day in my bones and in my soul.
As a nation, we were in shock, all of us. I remember the following month, I went to New York for a business trip, and I went to Ground Zero, and on all the fences they had, you know, the photos of all the people who were missing. You know, have you seen Joe? Have you seen Mary? Have you seen my son? And just, you know, hundreds and hundreds of photos, and it took your breath away, you know, when you realize that these people are not coming home. No. And the first responders, many who have now died because of the chemicals they inhaled at Ground Zero, but they were like the Marines. You know, everybody else was running away. Mm-hmm. They were running towards the pile, hoping to be able to find survivors and rescue as many people. And there were no people to rescue. All they heard was hundreds of cell phones going off from loved ones trying to reach these people, and they were gone. So
I also remember, Paul, September 12th, that day that everybody went out to buy a flag, that day that everybody was kind to each other and supportive because we were a country in mourning and we were trying to heal together. And yes, we may have had a common enemy, the unknown force that was the Taliban, far, far away in a land unknown, but it was one of the few displays of unity,
You're certainly right.
In the last 18 years.
You're absolutely right.
That we have seen. And to think about today and to think about being more unified and knowing there are forces that would want to hurt us, so maybe we shouldn't do our best to kill each other here emotionally and politically here, would be a wise lesson that we could do well to learn again.
It's sad, though, that it takes an horrific tragedy to unite us, to have us all on the same page. But you couldn't be more right about that.
Lessons learned. It's 4:20. When we return, let's talk a little weather therapy. What does the rain mean for the Twins game tonight?
You need a lot of therapy,
I do.
A lot.
Sure.
I don't think we have enough time. We have a 2.5-hour show. But I'll try to cram as much therapy in. There's some good news, some bad news, and some ugly weather news. Fugly. It's coming up next.
So it looks like the rain has let up for a few minutes.
I like how you look out the window.
Just checking the real Doppler out there.
Well,
the Doppler's down, so I have to go to the source.
You're copying my methodology.
Yeah.
You know,
it's accurate.
It's the Amish Doppler, a good west-facing window. And it's great having all the technology, but you know, you can read the sky. Ask a farmer, ask a pilot, just based on the kinds of clouds and what direction the wind is blowing from and the barometric pressure, you can do a pretty good 12-hour forecast just reading the clouds. So there is something to be said for looking out the window.
Or I could feel my hair. I know when it's going to rain, when I can feel, you know, the Jufro getting out of control.
Really?
Yeah.
Should we have a frizz factor every day?
You know what?
A
we
frizz factor?
We absolutely should. Yeah, it'd be accurate.
So the really humid days when the dew points are in the 60s and 70s. But doesn't it expand? You have more hair, right?
Yeah,
it expands
it's
the hair.
Bigger.
That's
yes.
a good thing. Big
well,
hair? Really?
Well.
You're complaining about too much hair? God, I wish I had those problems. So anyway, the Twin Cities Doppler is down for repair, as we told you a couple of days ago. And in the back of my mind, it's like, oh, boy, what can possibly go wrong? Because you can still get big storms in September. This thing's going to be down for at least 2 weeks. Might come back up as early as the 19th, but we're under a flood watch now. Central and southern Minnesota, another wave coming in late tonight, tomorrow. The Twins game should get in with no hassles this evening. It's not going to be glorious like it was yesterday when you snuck out. What after the second inning? Really?
I was tired.
What kind of baseball fan are you?
I am a fan, and I went. And moving on with weather therapy.
I
didn't get to see any of the good stuff.
You did the Queen Elizabeth wave up in the box. Did you wave at your adoring fans?
I enjoyed the moment.
Did you? You soaked it up?
The moments that I was there.
So anyway, dry this evening, just drizzly, and then another wave of heavy rain late tonight through tomorrow. And then it gets better for the weekend, and we're going to be back in the 80s starting Sunday and 90 possible by Tuesday of next
that
week.
That is awesome. That'll really make me feel like summer's still here.
Soak it up, because by the end of next week, some of the long-range guidance hinting at a real cold front, maybe 50s, 60s.
So is that sort of the beginning of fall then?
Well, yeah. But again, keep in mind, and couple of listeners emailed, when's the first frost? In the Twin Cities, it's anywhere from the 6th to the 12th of October, give or take. So, I mean, we still have a few frost-free weeks to go. And we're going to see more 80s. We could see 90. Summer isn't quite done. But, yeah, the cold fronts will get a little more formidable as the weeks go on. By the way, September 10th, the worst day of the year to visit the tropics, to go on a vacation Caribbean. That's the day where a hurricane strike is most likely.
Yesterday.
September 10th.
Really?
Yes. The day.
Wow. Like, it's just historically, that's when most have struck?
The oceans are the warmest.
Oh, okay.
And again, hurricanes get their energy, their strength from warm ocean water. And that's when peak ocean water temperatures come. The reason I'm mentioning this, the Bahamas still cleaning up, you know, 70,000 homeless, 17%. You know, Bahama residents are homeless, although Nassau is fine. They got dinged up a little bit, but Nassau did not see the issues that the Abaco Islands and Grand Bahama did.
And just that new stat coming out of 2,500 still missing.
Still missing, and we don't know how high the death toll, but the best way you can support the Bahamas, go on a vacation, schedule a vacation, support them with your dollars.
That's true.
And again, Nassau, hotels, restaurants, still just fine. Mm-hmm. And by the way, the computers bring another possible hurricane close to Florida a week from Saturday, the European model. So it's active in the Atlantic. We have not seen the last hurricane. Dorian was not the last. There will be more.
Up next and beyond the headlines, a 10-year-old girl, as I'm choking.
Are you okay?
Films her mom driving drunk.
Oh.
Hear that story next. Jordana here for my friends at Blue Skies Services. You're thinking, oh, what a miserable view it is. You know, it's not just the dark, dank rain. Maybe it's your windows. It probably is. We had an active summer and lots of rain, so now is a perfect time to get your windows cleaned at Blue Skies Services. In September, if you book a service in September, an exterior washing or a window cleaning, you get your exterior lights, $100 for exterior light cleaning. That is an extra $100 to spend on your exterior lights. And my friend, I'll tell you, you haven't looked at your exterior lights in a while. They need that cleaning. September usually books fast because it has cooperative temperatures, and it's always a reminder to our CCO listeners and loyal, frequent customers of Blue Skies So call today or go online at Blue Skies Services, 952-467-2447. Remember, if you book a service in September, you get up to $100 in a free service for exterior light cleaning. Check them out, blueskiesservices.com or 952-467-2447. So my kids are total backseat drivers sometimes, but not like this kid who really was a hero. Stephanie Davis, 31, was arrested earlier this week around 4:15 p.m. after her 10-year-old daughter recorded video of her mother driving while intoxicated before calling the police. Mm. The 10-year-old showed the Glendale police, that's near Phoenix, a video in which three children under the age of 15 yell at Davis to stop before she gets into an accident. So they're in the back seat yelling at her to stop the car because I guess she was driving erratically, and her kids knew that she was drunk. Officers said Davis was staggering around outside the car when they arrived. She admitted drinking wine Saturday but would not say anything else. They say there was an extreme odor of alcohol coming from Davis. She had bloodshot and watery eyes and a red, flushed face, stuttered speech. And just she tried to explain that she was tired. She fell down and was caught by officers. But can you imagine her poor kids having to not only witness this, but know enough to videotape it and then call police and say, come and help us because our mom is driving drunk with us.
You know, in the day and age of smartphones and social media, it's harder to get away with stupid stuff.
Thank God for that this kid had one.
All the cameras out there.
To save herself.
Good for those kids.
Good for the little girl.
For the presence of mind. Mm-hmm. You know, it's usually advantageous to give birth in a hospital.
Yeah, that's helpful.
Right? Mm-hmm. You don't want to necessarily give birth on a sidewalk.
Nope, that wouldn't be my choice.
Like a teacher who went into labor at a Colorado middle school.
Okay.
She ended up delivering her baby on the sidewalk out in front of the school.
Oh, boy.
She wasn't due.
There's a sex ed lesson you don't want to learn the hard way.
Hey. So this woman wasn't due till September 17th. She thought a contraction she felt yesterday morning was a false alarm. She's a sixth grade reading teacher.
Mm-hmm.
She was presented an award at an assembly before realizing, uh-oh, I need to get to a hospital. Okay. All of a sudden, it was just so much pressure and pain. I was like, I think she's coming now, as in the baby. I think we need to just call 911. So a seventh-grade reading teacher, another teacher, a friend of hers, put a sleeping bag down on the sidewalk in front of the school. The principal handled the delivery until firefighters arrived to finish the job.
Oh,
everybody's fine. The baby is Zara, 8 pounds, 6 ounces. And mom said when she was ready, she just said, boom, I'm coming out. I think it will be indicative of her personality to come that she will be a firecracker.
Oh, boy.
She's going to do great things.
Oh, boy.
I like happy endings.
Oh, boy. Well, thank God everyone's okay, but
yeah.
That must have been tough to watch for those sixth graders. Feral hogs. Have you ever seen a feral hog?
I have not seen any of those lately, no.
Wildlife officials say feral hogs from Canada, those Canadians, are encroaching on Montana's northern border, and they're a serious concern. I would say so. I don't imagine that feral hogs
aren't they always in season?
A friendly sort.
No?
Yeah. The Daily Interlake reported Sunday, the U.S. Agriculture Department division says there have been multiple reports of feral hogs near the border. They say 8 mature pigs are now messing up farms, fields, and forests, leaving terrain unrecognizable. The pigs may also spread disease, impacting livestock and other animals.
Wow.
Can you shoot feral hogs?
I don't know.
No, there's no open season on feral hogs.
I doubt it. You no.
What does it taste like?
I wouldn't advise it. Like chicken.
Like yeah, right. I mean,
I don't know.
Some bacon, right? There's an
feral hogs. Yeah.
Very easy solution to this: get your guns and go and kill the feral hogs and have them for dinner.
What's the limit on feral hogs? I have no idea. Somebody out there knows that. All right, here's an example of taking show and tell to the next level.
Oh,
a Florida school district says an unusual passenger was found in a student's backpack.
Uh-oh.
In a Facebook post, Bay County School District officials say they found a bearded dragon in the middle school student's backpack Monday of this week.
Does it bring your pet to work day?
I don't know what the deal was. But the school says they put the reptile in a box until an adult could take him home. The student said they brought the lizard named Django to school because they didn't want him to be sad home alone all day. So the intentions were pure. The school did remind parents to check their kids' backpacks before sending them out the door. You never know what's in those backpacks.
I actually have a funny show-and-tell story. I don't know if you remember your kids going to show-and-tell, but you know my husband makes vodka.
Yeah.
Okay? And he started manufacturing minis, you know, like a mini bottle of vodka like you get on an airplane.
Right,
you know, an airplane size.
Right.
And they sell them at the front desk or the front counter of liquor stores. You've seen them. So the minis came to the house for some samples, and they were so cute. You know, they were like these adorable little versions of my husband's big bottle of his vodka. So my littlest one, I mean, she was probably six at the time. She says, "Mark, can I bring this for show and tell?" He goes, "Babe, honey, I think maybe that would be a bad choice because you can't have vodka. It's vodka. It's alcohol. Kids can't drink alcohol." She goes, "I'll empty it out and I'll bring it." And he's like, "No, I think this is a bad choice." And she was just so sweet because, you know, they were so cute and she wanted to bring the little bottle.
Just trying
for show
to support dad.
No, right? She was trying to be so sweet. And he's like, "Yeah, hashtag bad choices. No, we cannot do that."
Wow.
Don't want to start the little ones too young. On the vodka.
No.
Yeah, right.
No.
So remember that whole push to storm Area 51?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think it was going to be called Alien Stock.
Yep.
The storming Area 51.
And the Air Force said no. Please don't, because we will defend the base.
Meaning we will shoot you on site if you are at Area 51. Well, there's more alien drama unfolding. Matty Roberts, who is the 21-year-old Bakersfield gamer behind the Storm Area 51 Facebook spectacle. And by the way, like 2 million people RSVP'd that they were totally going to do this. He says, "Well, we're not going to do that now. We've pulled the plug on that festival, maybe because he didn't want the military to kill people that stormed Area 51. Yeah. He said, "What we're going to do now is have a music festival, Alien Stock. They're now teaming with Collective Zoo," I don't know who that is, "and Bud Light to host a free event in downtown Las Vegas at the Event Center on September 19th. Okay, he said it's billed as an out-of-this-world evening with top-secret entertainment, which is actually really cute. Before Alien Stock, again, there was this Area 51 Can't Stop All of Us. He claimed it was a joke, but yet more than 2 million people were going to come before the military put a stop to that. So are you going to go to Alien Stock in Las Vegas on September 19th?
I'm going to play it by ear. I'm going to see if the ticket prices come down.
See how that
goes. I'm not
going to
pay
you
top dollar for that.
No.
No.
But, you know, way to take those 2 million followers and people interested and turn it into a moneymaker. Capitalism is alive and well, my friends.
Oh, my. It's alive. I'm not sure it's well.
That's true.
Okay, so here's the deal. A homeless man in Florida, of all places, went on a car vandalism spree Monday. Did you see this? He smashed at least 20 vehicles before getting tired and falling asleep on a nearby bench.
It's exhausting.
It is.
Vandalism is exhausting.
When questioned by authorities, he said it happened because President Donald Trump, quote, owes me $1 trillion.
Oh, well, sure. Sounds sane.
The man, 30-year-old Justin James Wilson, said he damaged 20 cars or more that were parked at the Holiday Inn Resort on Okaloosa Island. He faces 14 counts of felony criminal mischief. He confessed to the officers. He said, quote, "Take me to jail.
Okay.
I did it because Donald Trump owes me $1 trillion and these vehicles belong to the mafia."
Okay. It all sounds very rational. Sure, that happened.
Did he have some of the Aviv? Did he? I wonder if he had some of those little shot
time
bottles.
He take a little nap in prison.
Boy.
Three lucky hikers who got stuck. It was a gentleman, his girlfriend, and his 13-year-old son decided to spend time backpacking, and they got stuck and stranded in California. It was familiar territory for the gentleman, who took as many as 20 backpacking trips in the Central California coastal forest each summer. But what happened was, through a very narrow pass, there is supposed to be a rope that is installed there to help hikers through a very narrow passage. They had inner tubed down a little bit of a waterfall to get to this area, and then they were supposed to pass through. Well, the rope wasn't there. And then they couldn't get back up through the area in which they came. And all of a sudden, they found themselves stranded. So what do? They found a green plastic water bottle. That was kismet, that there was a green plastic water bottle in that area. The family carved "help" on the green bottle. Then they wrote on a little piece of scratch paper that they had, 6/15/19, we're stuck here at the bottom of the waterfall. Get help, please. And then they threw the bottle into the water streaming by. Well, the next day, folks found it. They hiked down to an area, campground, where they could get help. And that night, people came to rescue the hikers. Isn't that a great story?
Wow.
I know. What luck. They wouldn't even stay, I think, overnight a whole night. This happened to them in the morning. They sent it down in the middle of the night. They were going to sleep out there unexpectedly. People came to rescue
them. They found that. Just the fact that somebody found
the message
water
in a bottle.
Yeah,
they found a message in a bottle.
That's
and,
crazy.
You know, she wrote the date and she wrote, you know, we're here at the waterfall. So I guess it's known to hikers where they were, but really lucky and some, I guess, proper choices that they made. Right? Isn't that scary?
Yeah. The power of prayer. Mm. All right. I'm just going to squeeze this in. Beginning tomorrow, Taco Bell will have two new vegetarian items.
Nice.
A black bean Crunchwrap Supreme and a black bean Quesarito. Did you know, and I did not know this, that there are a dozen vegetarian items on Taco Bell's menu?
Well, just the stuff with the beans and the cheese, right? That makes sense. I mean, unless they're pork beans.
You can substitute any meat for black beans and make it vegetarian.
Okay.
The chain said its menu can be customized more than 8 million ways to fit a vegetarian diet as more and more people make the decision, hey, I'm going
to
cut back on meat. You can still enjoy Taco Bell. Again, this may be the sign of the apocalypse,
though. I don't think so.
Taco Bell going vegetarian? What?
Time now is 4:47. That's a Wixon Jewelers time check. With decades of experience and a well-earned reputation, Wixon is the best place to sell your vintage or pre-owned watches. I'm getting a lot of heat, Mike Max, because
yes.
I went to the Twins game yesterday
yes.
and I didn't stay till the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, she slipped out.
She
was tired.
The game was over, man. They had won, right?
I'm tired sometimes.
Barrios pitching well. They had everything going in their direction.
Yeah, he went, what, seven innings?
Seven shutout innings. He's outstanding.
Wow.
He was what they want him to be going into the postseason. I just came from the Twins. Now, they get an ace's ace tonight in Strasburg from Washington we don't see often. I was just visiting with Jonathan Scope and Marwin Gonzalez about it. They said, this guy's really good. He's got really good stuff. But you know what? We're pretty good, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That kind of that sly look with that wink. You know, he's a really good pitcher. And you know what? We're really good hitters.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Twins and Nationals back at it tonight at 6:40. Our coverage starts at 5:30 with Henry Lake.
And Garve Sauce got it done last night, right? Two-run homer?
Yeah, Garver, home run, two-run homer. He's got 30 now this year. He's you know, obviously just an unbelievable year for him. And the most home runs ever by a Twins catcher, and he doesn't even play all the time. So that's been amazing. Stopped by the Vikings today. Kirk Cousins was talking about he goes back with this Green Bay coach, was his position coach in Washington. And not only that, but they grew up by each other in Michigan, and like they vacationed in the same town and everything else,
nice.
And now they're up against each other this Sunday. So that's kind of fun.
Also, the Lynx play Seattle Storm tonight.
Lynx play Seattle tonight. It's a one-and-done situation. Now, Seattle's defending champions, but they've lost a couple great players. Sue Bird and Stewart, the two of their top players are gone. Now, Natasha Howard used to play for the Lynx. She has flourished in Seattle. She had to sit behind some great players when she played for the Lynx. Now she's kind of getting a chance to do her thing, and she's played really well for them. The Lynx are just 1-3 against Seattle this year. So, but Seattle's a very beatable team.
All right. Well, that's
good.
Well,
that's encouraging.
Yeah.
What else you have coming up?
Went out
what
to Gopher Hockey today.
Oh, nice.
Yes, Gopher Hockey. Hockey's already starting the Wild. Tomorrow, Gopher Hockey's already there. Talked to Bob Motzko for a bit. Their hockey coach. They've got some young players now. They're getting involved and trying to get their attendance up over there and all that goes with it. So they've got some challenges out there. Gopher football team takes on Georgia Southern, of course, on Saturday. I was out there yesterday talking to the Gophers about that, and I think that they have a really good chance to go 3-0 with a bye week and then into the Big Ten. So lots of, you know, we always forget sometimes. There are lots of good things going on in this town right now.
So much.
Hey, Maxie,
so
and we're out of time now, but tomorrow I want to get your opinion about California about to pay college athletes. The Olympic model, basically letting them go out, get endorsements. Good idea, bad idea?
You got it.
Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mike.
When we return, hear that Twins' exciting home run last night. We'll talk weather, and we'll revisit 9/11 memories. All next on CCO.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.